Congressman Dennis Kucinich has served at nearly every level of government, and now he wants the country's top job. The Ohio Democrat was a city councilman, a mayor, and a state senator before his election to Congress in 1996. He earned the nickname Dennis the Menace for his outspokenness and tenacity. In 1978, Cleveland went bankrupt while he was mayor because he refused to sell the municipal electric system to a private company. Kucinich says it was a matter of principle. He'd run on the promise not to sell the utility. Kucinich lost his re-election bid, and his career in politics faltered for years. He says his political courage distinguishes him from the other Democratic presidential candidates.
I'm the only candidate who's saying guaranteed single-payer universal health care, and we have the resources to do that. It would be backed by a 7.7% tax that would be paid by employers who, by the way, are already paying about 8.5% in terms of the average health care cost. I'm the only candidate in this race who is saying no to any kind of privatization of Social Security and who's saying take the retirement age back to 65. I want to be president because I believe that it's important to have a full employment economy, that we can get America back to work rebuilding our cities. We can get America back to work if we change our trade agreements and cancel NAFTA and the WTO, which have really been responsible for America losing hundreds of thousands and even millions of jobs. As the next president, I can work to create a new manufacturing policy so we can get our steel, automotive, and aerospace industries back to where they were as a mainstay of the American economy.
You would finance the health care with a payroll tax on employers, and wouldn't that discourage employers from expanding their payrolls, in other words, fewer jobs?
Well, actually, the system today discourages employers from expanding their payroll because of how much they're paying for health care. The health care cost means that employers keep cutting back and cutting back, and that has an adverse effect on one's workforce. If you have a workforce which isn't healthy, that has a material and destructive undermining of the workplace itself. So we want a healthy America. We want an America which focuses on preventive health as well.
Is your realistic goal to win the presidential nomination or to raise these issues?
Well, by raising these issues, I'm going to win. By raising these issues, I'll identify myself as the one candidate who is in touch with the practical aspirations of people and who sees that this country has the resources to address those aspirations. And I know that the American people have a right to decent health care and education and right to jobs, and it's being sacrificed in the name of tax cuts for the wealthy, in the name of perpetual war, and in the name of a military buildup.
But you've heard now the horror stories of the regime of Saddam Hussein. Has that not moderated your opposition to the war?
It's not simply opposition to the war in Iraq, which calls me to run for president. It's opposition to a policy which sets America apart from the rest of the world, because it's the policy which says that America can be the policeman of the world, that America can invade any country it pleases, that America can impose its doctrines and power anywhere it wants. America can help to affirm international order, not through the force of arms, but through the force of morality, the morality which says that we must lead the way in achieving a biological weapons convention and a chemical weapons convention and a landmines treaty and a small arms treaty and all of those things which say we will work cooperatively with the world.
But how much morality was in Iraq 2 months ago? I mean, aren't the Iraqi people significantly better off now?
Well, that remains to be seen. I think most people would agree that Saddam Hussein was not an individual who the world could count on to work cooperatively. However, the United States worked cooperatively with Saddam Hussein in the late 80s. The United States was responsible for providing Saddam Hussein with biological, chemical, and nuclear weapons potential. So it was more than passing strange to hear an administration condemn the viciousness of Saddam Hussein when the fact of the matter is that Washington cooperated in helping to build him up. So what I'm saying is that if we want to achieve a higher morality in our international affairs, then we must take care not to provide weapons to individuals who are likely to inflict harm against people, their own people, or people in the region.
Until recently, you opposed abortion. Why the change of heart?
Well, actually, the evolution that I've had on the issue of abortion has come about as a result of a number of factors. Over the last few years, there's been a move in the Congress to try to criminalize abortion. I don't believe in criminalization. I think that it is fundamental in a democracy that a woman have equality, and any effort to try to criminalize abortion would strike at the heart of that equality. So I support Roe v. Wade. Was I always there? No. But I've seen how this really has become such a divisive and destructive issue, and I think that we can work to achieve a society which supports a woman's right to choose, and we can do that within the context of working to make abortions less necessary.
You mentioned job losses from NAFTA. Did it not also create wealth for others?
NAFTA certainly created wealth for multinational corporations. NAFTA was created perhaps with the intention of international cooperation and trade, but what it really brought about was a race to the bottom. Companies move out of America in search of low wages, in search of climates which do not support unions, in search of areas where they don't have to pay people basic benefits. What does that mean then? What it means is that NAFTA has been used to whipsaw workers, representatives at the negotiating table, forcing them into givebacks of wages and benefits under the threat of moving. NAFTA needs to be canceled, and we need to return to a bilateral system of trade which is conditioned on workers' rights, human rights, and environmental quality principles. When we do that, we will help lift up not only the condition of American workers, but we will help lift up the condition of workers around the world, because we'll set standards for trade.
Would you be the first vegetarian president?
Gee, I don't know. I will tell you this, that the pace of this campaign is such, traveling sometimes 11,000 miles in a week, I couldn't do it if I didn't watch my diet.
Well, I remember the incumbent's father weighing in on broccoli. That's the last...
Well, you know, broccoli will be welcomed in my White House, and so will vegetarians.
Ohio Congressman Dennis Kucinich. The full version of this interview and previous interviews with other 2004 Democratic presidential candidates are at npr.org.